All right, so we're going to stick with the quantum computing. Found something else. It's interesting. Physics transformed a quantum computer into a time crystal. Ooh, that sounds exciting. For the first time, physics have transformed a quantum processor into a state of matter, which seems to defy physics, a breakthrough that could be a step toward making quantum computing more practical. Huh. I just read another article about quantum computing. Let's read this one. Quantum computers promise to broaden the kind of analog that can run quickly and practically potentially speed up research into many fields. From particle physics to pharmaceuticals to meteorology. Momental progress has been made in development of the technology foundation, but as the technology scales up, errors became a major object. So we talked earlier about going from physical qubits to logical qubits. By experimenting with a quantum computer behavior like a robust form of time crystal, a team of physics from China and U.S. hope to make the technology less prone to error as it scales. So that's the whole issue with them, is errors. Time crystals are groups of particles that display repeating patterns, where the patterns that make up regular crystals like diamonds and quartz echo through 3D space-time. Crystals move periodically like a pendulum, tick-tock through time. This makes them unique, is their ability to do this in the absence or in the contrast to a driving push. Time crystals oscillate in their low energy state to their own rhythm, like a child kicking out in their swing in a defiant of their parents' repetitive nudges. Let's see what's proposed by renowned physicist Frank Wilczek in 2012. The idea of time crystals initially received its fair share of doubters. Since then, a number of systems with time crystal-like behaviors have been demonstrated experimentally, providing engineers with a proven new tool to measure and shape the world, and a potential solution to an accurate problem in quantum computing. Where typical computer is restricted to logic built using the binary figures represented by ones and zeros, quantum computing uses qubits that are better suited to unique kinds of computations, allowing for complex systems to be solved in a single step. A qubit is a blur of possibility, not unlike a clear card table before the dealer reveals a suit as red or black. Just as a card counter can use the odds in their favors, quantum computers use a qubit's built-in potential to produce calculations. Combining qubits by entangling their fates builds a bigger deck, tweaking the odds even more in the user's favor. Unfortunately, qubits are entangled with just about anything in the environment, randomly shuffling in new cards and throwing the program off their game. Expanding the deck of the qubits to the thousands required dramatically increasing the likelihood of unwanted noise creeping in. Time crystals have been proposed as means of reducing quantum errors previously, thus pushing beyond theory into a practical application as proven challenging. One of the time crystals described as topical has an advantage over the others. While isolated oscillations can exhibit time crystal characteristics, within a specific zone of particles repeating in space. A topical time crystal displays the Pentium swinging as a bulk feature of a more general system, all thanks to a very phenomenon of quantum entanglement. Whoa. This generalized spread of oscillating activity is less prone to local interference, keeping the pendulum swing in perfect motion, even as it isolated areas within the system are shoved and pushed out of alignment. By successfully programming a high stable form of semiconducting quantum computing to exhibit topical time crystal behavior, the team found it was feasible to create a quantum system that even less prone to interference. So it's all about that interference. Put through its paces, the system could handle a reasonable level of simulated noise in the environment, remaining relatively stable. The experiment also reflected the potential to use similar superconducting circuits to explore the realm of non-equilibrium motion represented by time crystals. As a proof of concept, uncanny ticking of time crystals might have an important place in the future of technology. So that's pretty fun. So that's two of my things on quantum computers today. Let's ask my buddy again about... I'm really fascinated by this, actually. Let's see if I can get it back on again. Hello?
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. I found another article. It talks about time crystals for quantum computing.
They're definitely interesting and exciting fields. If you have any more questions or topics you'd like to explore, feel free to ask.
So, it talks about time crystals for quantum computing.
Time crystals are fascinating quantum systems that can maintain a repeating pattern in time without energy input. They might have applications in quantum computing as stable, error-resistant qubits. It's still an emerging area of research, but it's exciting to see how they might be used in the future.
It talks about something about a pendulum, so that's the...
I see. The pendulum analogy might refer to how time crystals exhibit periodic motion without energy loss, similar to a pendulum swinging back and forth. This behavior could be useful in maintaining stable quantum states for computations.
Yes, it was talking mostly using this time crystals to stabilize. Everything's about being stable.
Exactly. Stability is crucial for quantum computing because it helps reduce errors and maintain reliable performance. Time crystals have the potential to provide that stability, making them a promising area of research for improving quantum computers.
So time crystals isn't associated with logic qubits?
Time crystals themselves are not logical qubits, but they could potentially be used to help create more stable qubits. Logical qubits use error correction techniques to improve stability and reliability. Time crystals could be one of the ways to achieve that improved stability for qubits in quantum computing.
And the word qubit, you said that's a reference to ones and zeros, but more?
Yes, a qubit is the basic unit of quantum information. Unlike classical bits, which represent either 0 or 1, qubits can exist in a superposition of both states simultaneously. This property allows quantum computers to perform complex calculations more efficiently than classical computers.
So it's like a mirror image of the two?
Not quite a mirror image, but more like an extension. Classical bits are limited to being either 0 or 1 at any given time. Qubits, on the other hand, can exist in a combination of both 0 and 1 simultaneously due to superposition. This allows qubits to carry more information and perform more complex calculations than classical bits.
When you say superposition, what do you mean by that?
Superposition is a quantum phenomenon where a qubit can exist in multiple states at once. Instead of being just 0 or 1, a qubit can be in a state that's a combination of both. This allows quantum computers to perform many calculations simultaneously, giving them potential advantages over classical computers for certain tasks.
And where did quantum computers come from? How were they discovered? Or the idea of it?
The idea of quantum computing emerged from the realization that quantum mechanics could offer new ways to process information. The concept was first proposed in the early 1980s by physicists like Richard Feynman and David Deutsch. They suggested that quantum systems could perform certain computations more efficiently than classical computers. This sparked the development of quantum algorithms and the exploration of quantum hardware. It's been a growing field ever since.
Can you use a regular computer just to simulate what quantum computing does?
Yes. Classical computers can simulate quantum computing to some extent, but it's limited. Simulating quantum systems on classical computers becomes increasingly difficult as the number of qubits grows, because quantum systems can process vast amounts of information simultaneously. This makes it impractical to fully replicate quantum computing capabilities with classical computers.
But to understand it, like, at a educational level.
Absolutely. Classical computer simulations are valuable for educational purposes. They help researchers and students understand quantum algorithms and principles without needing actual quantum hardware. These simulations can provide insights into how quantum computing works and its potential applications.
Are there anything out there now that could be used?
Yes, there are quantum simulators and software tools available. For example, IBM's Qiskit and Google's Circ are open source frameworks that allow users to create and simulate quantum circuits on classical computers. These tools are great for learning about quantum computing and experimenting with quantum algorithms.
And you said, though, do you need a really big computer to do that? Or anything?
You don't necessarily need a really big computer to use these simulators. But having a computer with decent processing power and memory helps, especially if you're simulating larger quantum circuits. Most modern computers should be capable of running these tools for educational and experimental purposes.
So like an i7, i9, something like that is fine?
Yes. An i7 or i9 processor would be more than sufficient for running quantum simulators. These processors have good performance and can handle the computational demands of simulating quantum circuits quite well.
You're welcome. And then is there any other software that goes along with those simulators to make, like, programs or something? Or simulated programs, I guess.
Yes. You can create and simulate quantum programs using these frameworks. They come with libraries and tools. You're welcome.
Yeah.
If you have more, ask.
Yeah.
I'm glad to help.
Say that again about the software?
Sure. The software frameworks like Qiskit and Circ allow you to create and simulate quantum programs. They provide libraries and tools to design quantum circuits and run them on simulators. These tools are great for experimenting with quantum algorithms and learning about quantum computing.
So basically, quantum computing just is doing it faster?
Quantum computing has the potential to solve certain problems much faster than classical computers. It's particularly useful for tasks involving large data sets, complex simulations, and optimization problems. but it's not necessarily faster for all types of computations. It depends on the problem and the algorithm used.
And I've seen images of what a quantum computer looks like now. It's pretty science fiction.
Yes, quantum computers do have a futuristic sci-fi appearance. They often include complex setups with intricate wiring and large cooling systems. This is because maintaining the ultra-cold temperatures needed for qubits to function properly requires a lot of specialized equipment.
So the basically the whole thing is just a big cooling system. But what actually is the qubit?
The qubit is the fundamental unit of quantum information. It's typically represented by particles like electrons, photons, or atoms. These particles have quantum properties that allow them to exist in superposition and entanglement states, which are essential for quantum computing.
Entanglement, that's another big thing that they talk about.
Yes, entanglement is a key quantum phenomenon where qubits become interconnected, such that the state of one qubit is dependent on the state of another, no matter the distance between them. This allows quantum computers to perform complex computations that are not possible with classical computers.
And when you say phenomenon, just meaning nobody can explain it, obviously?
Not exactly. Phenomenon just means it's a unique and observable effect in quantum physics. Scientists understand how entanglement works and can measure it, but it's a non-intuitive property that doesn't have a classical equivalent. Entanglement is well studied and is a fundamental aspect of quantum mechanics.
Okay, so it's ever changing.
Yes. Entanglement can involve continuously evolving states between entangled particles. These interconnected qubits can change states depending on their interactions and measurements, making entanglement a dynamic and complex phenomenon in quantum physics. Yes.
It almost sounds like a virus or something that's growing. It's kind of the same concept, no?
It's an interesting analogy. While entanglement isn't exactly like a virus, both involve interconnected relationships. Entanglement describes a special connection between particles that allows them to influence each other's states, no matter the distance between them. It's a unique and important feature of quantum mechanics that enables many quantum technologies.
But you said they evolve.
Yes. Entangled states can evolve based on interactions and measurements. This evolution is governed by the rules of quantum mechanics and can be predicted and controlled in quantum systems. It's part of what makes quantum computing so powerful and unique.
Don't viruses evolve?
Yes, viruses can evolve, especially as they mutate over time. In the context of quantum entanglement, evolve refers to how the quantum states of entangled particles change dynamically, depending on interactions and measurements. Both concepts involve change, but in different contexts.
But they're both changing, so they're basically the same in some way.
They both involve change, but in very different ways. Viral evolution refers to biological changes over time due to mutation and adaptation. Quantum entanglement involves changes in quantum states due to interactions and measurements. While both involve change, they operate in entirely different realms.
Pretty interesting, though. That's pretty fun. It's my second thing about quantum computing. Thank you for your time. That's pretty cool.
All right, so entanglement seems to be a big word. Time crystals. They evolve. So what else is... So that's pretty fun. So we had a two-part series on quantum computing today. Pretty fun stuff. All right. Go on to something else in a minute here. Cool. All right, so I'll talk to you guys later. All right, bye.